Though I didn't plan it like this, just not to be like that, that we now ended up doing a short series on the will of God in prayer. You understand that? So let me just conclude it today so that it will help people get at least get a very good understanding of what the Bible means when it talks about the will of God. Let's take a few verses as our text for this afternoon. First of all, from the book of 1 John chapter 5, we'll read about three of that, and then it says from verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life, and this is a confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him." Like I said, we have been talking about this will of God thing for some time. I just like to put wraps on it today, all right? Finish everything. My initial plan was to talk about what I called learning and praying. And then we ended up talking about the will of God in prayer again. Let's read another one. Let me just read this before we... The book of Matthew chapter 6. This is the... don't bother opening to it. I'll just read it. We all know it very well. In verse 9, it says, "Pray in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." All right? He said that on earth as it is in heaven. And we have explained this one again and again, that when the Lord Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, I just read from verses 9 and 10. In verse 10, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We said that what it means is this. What it was saying is that thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. It wasn't saying that thy will be done on earth as you wish it in the heavens or what you desire in heaven, but that which has been recorded in heaven. And the emphasis for us, again, is not that the will of God is not important. It is. We are just saying that the will of God has been revealed and the will of God is recorded. Are you getting my point? Let me say this. You know what he said? If you go down to verse 4 of that 1 John chapter 5, he said, "And whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Now let me explain something to you. The Bible says that a double-minded man does not receive anything from God. You understand that? You've read that before. That's what James said. A double-minded man does not receive anything from God. That is, God expects that we have confidence when we are praying. God expects that our hearts be established, all right? That we shouldn't come thinking that maybe or maybe not. Please, are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, so when you were talking about the will of God, God wasn't teaching us that so that we will just leave everything open and we want to pray. Say, "God, if it is thy will." When I began to study the word of faith those days, one of the things that the word of faith teachers try to explain to people is that before then, it was common that people would pray and they would end it with, "If it is thy will." So you see somebody, he's broke and he needs money, and he'll pray, "God, send me funds, send me resources," and he'll end it with, "If it is thy will." Are you getting my point? Yeah, that was standard Christian praying. In fact, before the word of faith movement really caught on, it was standard Christian praying. Somebody needs, maybe a man, he's sick, he wants to get well. And then when after praying, he asks it, "If it is thy will." Because people were taught that, you see, the sickness may be God trying to teach you something. And like I said later, after I began to learn that there's some truth to that. But why don't you just learn the lesson quickly? You understand my point? And move on. Rather than establish yourself in that, thinking that that may be the will of God. So people thought that what you do is that it's a matter of humility. They thought that when you want to pray, you are not firm on anything. You are not sure of anything. Always add, "If it is thy will." And the reason is because they read here that Jesus said, that John said, "If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And then Jesus said, "Nevertheless, let thy will be done and not mine." You know what he said in that Matthew chapter 26? He said, "If it is possible, let this cup pass away from me, all right? If it cannot pass unless I drink it, then let thy will be done," he was saying. So we thought that he was leaving things for God to decide. Let me say something to you. In most situations, that becomes a lack of faith. Do you understand my point? it becomes an issue of you don't know what you want, and therefore you are not firm in it. And that's why I read this one. This is a confidence. It said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. In fact, when we're studying from that Romans chapter 12, remember I said that Paul explained that people should exercise their gift according to the proportion of their faith. That is, they should do things that they are confident in doing. Are you getting my point? That is, you don't go, for example, you say, okay, you have never preached to a multitude of 1 million people. Then I said that, look, you are the preacher for the day. And, you know, they want to start printing your face on poster. You have never preached anywhere. You are going to get there and you are going to have a lot of problems. You understand what I'm saying? So Paul was saying that exercise your gift according to the proportion of your faith. That's what I'm trying to explain. That is, there are things you can do with confidence. I'm bringing an issue here. When it comes to prayer also, we should pray with what? With confidence. And so when the Bible was saying that about the will of God, it wasn't describing the will of God as something that is abstract. The fact is that the will of God has been revealed. And when Jesus said, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. You understand what I mean? That's the one that was not sure. Nevertheless, what? Thy will be done. Let thy will be done. He knew that one. You get what I'm saying? He was committing himself because he said, should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour. You can read that from John chapter 12. He said, but for this cause, I came to this hour. So he knew that that was something that, oh boy, this is the will of God. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to explain. So when he said it, he wasn't leaving it in doubt, really. He was committing himself to that which has been revealed. Go and read that John chapter 12. His soul was sorrowful within him. He now said, should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? He said, no, I can't pray that prayer. When that hour came, it was like almost like a wish. If it's possible, let this thing pass me by. But I'm not asking for it. He said, I am saying thy will be done. And that will he had come to discover. In fact, it's because of his knowledge of his will, of that will, that he came to that point of prayer. Are you getting my point? It's because of his knowledge of that will, that was why he refused to call down 12 legions of angels to come and deliver him at that hour. So that when Peter began to fight on his behalf, he said, listen, it is not lack of weapon. That's not the reason why we are being arrested. The reason why we are being arrested is because we have discovered that this is the will of God, so let it be done. We are establishing again that the will of God is recorded. I'm going to get to something. You'll see what I'm saying in a moment. Nothing new. We have discussed it again and again. Just need to admonish people about it. We're going to get to the point that the will of God is what? Recorded. What did I say? The will of God is what? Let me hear you. The will of God is what? The will of God is recorded. And as I'm talking about learning and praying, can you remember that? And that's what I want to remind us of again. For that, I'll conclude everything today. Now, let's read this again just to help us from Daniel chapter 9. What am I saying? The will of God is what? Recorded. And if we are going to come in confidence, if we are going to come in faith, it is going to be because we have discovered that which is recorded. There's one prayer we pray all the time. It said, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I will acquire life. That is, when I have understanding, I will know what is mine. When I have understanding, I will be able to come to God in confidence in the time of prayer. When I have understanding, I will have a steadiness of heart when I have to pray. Now, okay, Daniel chapter 9, right? He said, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, verse 2 says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, I like King James, understood by books the number of the years. I like the way King James renders this very well. He said, I understood by books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now let me just stop there. Now, this is where we have been trying to get to all this while, trying to talk about this will of God thing, this issue of learning and praying. What did I call it? Learning and praying. Now, and I think I've finally gotten to what I want to say, so I can settle down. Now, enough of reading the scriptures. Let me start talking. You know, I've told us this story before. Once I finished preaching on radio, actually, and next day I went to work. And one of my friends, a senior colleague, he was unhappy with what I said, you understand, on radio. Okay? And I still remember the prayer, some of the things I said in that preaching that day. I remember I said that I had just gotten married, and I went one of those days, I mean, a few months after I got married, I went to a bookshop, and I was going through books, and I saw a book titled Childless But Not Less, Helping Couples Cope with Childlessness. And I said, I will pass. Thank you. I don't want to read. I don't want to learn how to cope with childlessness. Which kind of prophetic utterance is this one? I just got married. You understand what I'm saying? And you are trying to help me to cope. All right? I said that in the radio. I said, there are many things people say. I said, no, I don't want to hear. There are prayers. In fact, I told a story. A friend of mine, a colleague also, when I was a resident, he gave me a book on a story by an HIV patient, an AIDS patient. These are the early days of AIDS and HIV. This man was infected because before they started treating, blood products before they give people. He had hemophilia. Hemophilia patients, for those who do not know, they can't clot blood, all right? If they injure, they bleed for a very long time. You know, normally if you injure, you press the place. After a while, a few minutes, the blood stops. This one, they will bleed for a very, very long time, all right? And the way they treat, because the reason is because there's a particular clotting factor that they don't make. They have this genetic abnormality that does not allow them make it. So the way they get a clotting factor is to get from people who make, which is flowing all over your blood, and they pull the blood together, concentrate the factor, and give to them. You understand? Now, before the days of HIV, some of the people donating blood for formation of a clotting factor, all right, before the days of testing, all right? So the guy got infected along the line like that. That's how he was a good Christian. That's how he got infected. So he wrote the book on how he lived with, either him or some of his friends wrote the book on how he lived with HIV. And then when I finished the book, the last portion of how he died. So he died watching television. Who cares whether he died watching them smoking Indian hemp? He's dead. He died very peacefully. Jesus is Lord. He's dead. He died rejoicing. He was 30-something. He's dead. So I was very angry. So I gave my friend the book back. I read the whole book. I endured the whole book. Listen, I'm a doctor. So there was nothing inside there that I didn't know would happen. I took the book because I wanted to know some things that are unusual. So I gave my friend back. Peju, that was her name, my neighbor. He said, you enjoyed the book? I said, no. He said, why? And he expected him to get healed. I said, yes, that's how I'm a Christian. I was very angry. You know, they were like, that's how some of you behave. Yes, that's how I behave. That's how I behave. What is the story in that you fell sick and you died? I don't know what I get what I'm going to explain. Look, listen. I took her straight. Oh, you expect him to say, oh, praise God. I will praise God in every situation. If you behead me right now, I praise God. As I'm going, if you take me, chop off my two hands, I will continue to praise God. You can't take that thing from my mouth. So that level of praise God, I will give it to the book. But I'll recommend this book to somebody else. That's how you know whether I enjoyed it or not. I said, no. If I have somebody who I know who is infected with HIV, I said, don't read that book. Don't read that book. That book is going to ruin your faith. Don't read it. Why didn't I read it? What was his story? If you know, Americans, they like to write a lot. That's another one of those funny things. Just write, okay, I woke up in the morning, praise God. I smoked, praise God. I slept, praise God. I woke up. I asked her simply, what has this book taught me? Why did I read it? She said, yes, I came to get healed. I said, yes, that is why. Now, I'm going somewhere. I said to her, that is why I'm a Christian. I expect the miraculous. Are you getting my point? Yes, I expect strange things to happen. They came to a young woman and said, you are going to have a child. She said, how can these things be? Seeing that I don't know any man, I'm not married. You know the situation, an angel. He said, good, that's why I've come to tell you a new thing. No word of God shall be void of power. With God, all things are possible. I want to know the things that I have not yet seen that are possible. Are you talking about that? I didn't like the book because the man died. Yes, I'm used to people dying. I work in hospitals where they die. Tell me why they don't have to die. That's what I want to read. Please, I'm going somewhere. Talking about learning and praying. So these are the stories I told. Let me not even forget where I started from. I told that, and I went as a young married man. I think I was just less than a year married. And he showed me a book. And I didn't have a child yet. Neither was my wife pregnant. Are you getting my point? He now showed me a book, How to Cope with Childlessness. I mean, that's how angry I felt. Ah, what kind of nonsense is this? Ah, I never start. You don't begin set me up for failure. It's like going out to say how to cope with bankruptcy. You're just opening your business. You're just opening your business. How to cope with business failure. You are just opening your business. Well, leave that to men who have failed in business. And they have failed 7, 8 times, you know, because the 7th time the Lord should still raise him up. Maybe he has now failed the 8th time. Okay, give him that book. The man that has failed 4 times, don't give him the book. Please, I hope you are following my principle. Please, I'm going somewhere. Where I'm going is this. Listen, you must raise your expectation in life. You must. I like the way men say it. They say it's better to shoot for the sun and hit the moon than shoot for the earth and get it all. Raise your aim. Shoot at the sun. If you miss it, maybe you hit the moon. You hit one of the stars passing by. At least you have moved up to another level. So that day, I finished preaching that thing on air. I said it extensively. I said, look, come on, don't make excuses. In fact, you've heard me say it. I don't want excuses that will entrench the work of the devil in my life. Allow me build my faith. It took Abraham 25 years to build his faith and his walk with God to a level where God could release that thing upon him. You understand that? Don't say you've been doing it for 20 years, time to give up. No. 25 years, this guy was walking day and night with God. At a point in time, he hit that point. He entertained some strangers, not knowing they were angels. And God said, good. Now this man has filled the cup. It's now time for an overflow. And that overflow manifested in the birth of Isaac. Put my eyes on that. Please, I hope you have understood what I'm going to explain. That's the principle. I finished explaining that to my friend. He heard it. And I said, ah! That helped me preach what he called a pick and choose gospel. You know they call pick and choose? And I've heard Christians, later on I heard Christians talk about it, that Christianity is not a supermarket. You go in, you know when you enter a supermarket, if you wanted bread, you buy the bread, and you see the tomato there, you don't want it, you leave it. That Christianity is not a supermarket. It's a holistic thing. You take the whole thing as God gives it to you. And this is where I'm coming to. And I said, I agree with you totally. Christianity is not pick and choose. You have to take everything that God gives you. But this is a question for you again today. Which one did God give me? Which one is the devil giving me? Are you getting my point? After all, we know in the scriptures that Jesus said there was a time the righteous people went to plant the righteous seed. Then while men slept, the enemy went there and sowed corrupted seeds in the midst of them. And both of them were growing and looking alike. Are you getting my point? And people at the point, they say, no, we didn't plant all of this. And they said, an enemy has done this. That is, there will be things growing around you that God did not plant. Abi? So Christianity is not pick and choose. We pick everything that God has given us and we reject the one that the devil is trying to give to us. You are getting my point? Now, how do we know the difference? That's why we are saying all of these things. Let's say it again. The will of God is recorded. No, say it. The will of God is recorded. Please, I want you to wave your Bible like this as you say it. Say, the will of God is recorded. Let's say it again. The will of God is recorded. Listen, that's a summary of it. That's a summary of it. It is not desires. You see, that's one thing people don't understand. We are not saying, you see, when was I preaching, maybe name it and claim, what people call name it and claim it gospel. They thought you were saying that anything you want, just claim it. That's not what we are saying. What we are saying is that there are things that God has given and we must claim everything. Are you getting my point? There are things that God has given and we must do what? Claim everything. There's one portion of the Bible I would like us to read. Very interesting. Because this was what Jephthah said. Judges chapter 11. The words of Jephthah, I think. Just one verse there I want to highlight because of the thing we are talking about. The people of Israel were summoned to battle. Jephthah was leading them. What happened was that somebody wanted to claim the territory that God had given them. And that's how your life is. So. He said, the thief comes not but to do what? What's the first word? What's the first word? He comes not but to steal. There are things that God has given. He wants to take away. Are you getting my point? God had given the people of Israel land. And the king of the Ammonites decided that he wanted to collect it back. And he said, it is because Israel took away my land when they came up from Egypt. From the Arnon as far as the Jabbok and the Jordan. Therefore, he said to them, return them peaceably now. That's verse 13, Judges chapter 11. But if you read further down, which is where I want us to read, you know, Jephthah replied him and told a very long story of how the land became their own. Are you getting my point? At the end of the day, look at what he said in verse 24. He said, okay, let me start from verse 22. He said, so they possessed all the territory of the Amorites. From the Arnon as far as the Jabbok, and from the wilderness as far as the Jordan. Since now the Lord, the God of Israel, drove out the Amorites from before his people, are you then to possess it? In answer in verse 24, do you not possess what Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess? He says, so whatever the Lord our God has driven out before us, we will possess it. That is, when your own God gives you something, you hold on to it. He said, God has cleared the land and handed it over to us. He said, our intention is to what? Hold on to it. What am I saying? That's how Christianity is. Is it pick and choose? No, it's not pick and choose. In that anything God gives us, we take it. We don't reject anyone. But it is pick and choose in that we are careful to pick only that which he has given. And we are careful to choose only that which he delivered to us. And I'm saying it again. How do we know it? Therefore, it is what? Because the will of God is recorded. I was going to say something. Let me quickly say it. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And such a man should not think he will receive anything from the hands of God. You know, the way I like to explain it. You know, the other day I stood outside and I saw one old model of Mercedes-Benz drive by. And I shook my head. I said, my God. There was a time if you told me I wouldn't drive that car, I would think you're a prophet of the devil. Because I loved it so much. In fact, when Benz changed the model then, I felt bad that they changed the shape. Do you know now, if you dash me the car, brand new, I will thank you, you understand my point? But the kind of gratitude that will come out of me, you'll be disappointed. See this large motor where I just give this guy. Just they behave like this. That is the love for it. It has worn off. Experience in life has taught me some things. I have driven different kinds of cars. At the end of the day, I look at that car and say, you mean this is a car that if they said, look, let's just chop off a little finger. I'll give you one those days. I'll have been tempted to agree. What am I saying? My faith was not steady on that matter. Because it's shifting ground. You know the way they say it? Shifting sand. If you build your faith, you know, lock it onto material things. One day, that's why God has not even answered. Because, you know, the Lord can see from the realm of the spirit. He can see what is faith and what is just ordinary covetousness. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, he can see it. He can see what is envy. Everybody else is doing it. I mean, how come you have not done it? So you go, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? And God is saying, look cool. He said, boys, let her exercise. Let him exercise. You know, some when they are praying, they go, they sweat. So God said, leave him. He will lose weight like that. The prayer is not going anywhere. Why? Because the Lord can see there's no faith in it. What am I saying again? The only thing that you can build your faith on and it will not shake is the word of God. That is the only thing you can lock your faith on 20 years after. It wouldn't shake. You know, if you read my book, Shall I Say Yes? I told a story that one of our sisters, Odegua, one day she asked me a question. She said, I wasn't married then. That what exactly do you like in a woman, you know? And I gave her the story you've read in the book, Shall I Say Yes? Those things I said that I told them to her in a few sentences. And she made a statement that I asked you this question 2 years. I didn't even remember. So I asked you this question 2 years ago. These were the very same things you told me. You understand what I'm saying? I said, these were the very same things you told me. She said it. Why? And I told her, listen, because they were not formed by human ideas. I did not even know I'd had those ideas for that long. But because they were not formed by human ideas, they were not formed by human desires, they were formed upon the word of God. But you see, when I look over my life, if you ask me which kind of woman, physically speaking, do you like, I can remember changing my mind at least 3 or 4 times. It depends on which film you watched recently. It's true. All this one that you go to Okpara Square, you see everybody jogging. I look at them sometimes. Half of them are not jogging for health sake. They are jogging for reading, for watching too much TV. Watching E on the DSTV. It's true. That's all. Most of the... I would just look at them joking. I said, look at these people. I mean, I was a child, all right? But I still remember the days when there was no chance for you if you didn't have weight. But it has changed. That's how you, so I tell people, say, people tell me that which weight is good. I say, once you can run up the stairs and not die, you're okay. Are you getting my point? Once you can carry yourself with confidence, you're okay. The rest is here. I'm trying to look at the issue. See, then, of course, I personally changed my mind many times. I still remember very well when we watched 10 Commandments. That's the story of Moses and co. leaving Egypt. And I saw the Egyptian men, that's pharaohs, the princes of Egypt, and the princesses of Egypt, their wives. And I formed an idea in my mind. But when that sister asked me that question, I said things to her which those ones were born of the Spirit of God. Are you getting my point? And they endured. So that years later, after she asked me the fact, I forgot. She asked me again, I repeated the same things. Why? That's the word of God. You are getting what I'm saying? The only thing you can build your faith on, and it will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, is the word of God. And therefore, whatever is not described in the word of God, don't lock your faith on it. And I mean it literally. Let me give an example. My idea of ministry has changed in the last 10 years. Well, okay, let me say, dramatically in the last 15 years. It has. If I had to pray a prayer 15 years ago concerning ministry, it's not what I prayed, I would have prayed then that I will be praying today over the last few years. No. Because suddenly what is pushing me is different now. When I want to pray now, if you know the kind of prayer I pray about, my eye is always, okay, let me say, 88.7% of the times, my eye is outside this window. That I don't see within here. I always see, in fact, I lift up my head like Abraham. Now satellite at a count. When I'm traveling, it's radio station I'm listening to. You get my point? If I see people doing principle of church growth, you know, I don't remember to listen to them. I just pass. But if I'm going on the road, like, which station is that one? When we come from Abuja last time, we had to come by a road coming back. For, we left late, and I didn't want to sleep again in Abuja that night. So we came back, got to Enugu around then past 9. On the way, there was one radio station that we listened to more than half. The journey was seven hours, a little more than 7 hours. There was one radio station we listened to for at least 4 hours. So trust now. By next morning, we're on the phone calling them. Hello? our name is Kingdom World Ministries. We're calling you from Enugu. They are based in Lokoja. That's as we are traveling. I say, maybe this is why the Lord said we should go back by this road. Though. You understand? I'm saying that's where my mind is fixed on. Next morning, we're already calling and discussing, okay, how much for 30 minutes? Okay, if we take, you know, we're already negotiating. The negotiation didn't work out because they were asking for a price, which we told them it would be ungodly to pay them the price. But the point I'm making is that, you see, where my mind is focused on is different. But on doing the will of God for my life, that one cannot change. Because that's the one that is recorded. You understand my point? We read of where God said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. And we said that applies to everybody. There are things that God commanded that I should do before I was born, which is the reason why life was given to this person. You are getting my point? Now, we can lock our faith on things like that. Locking your faith on outward things will turn you to a double-minded man, a double-minded woman, unstable in all his or her ways, unable to receive anything from God. The only way, therefore, we're talking about learning and, you know, praying. The only thing, way to make sure there's stability in your soul in the area of faith when it comes to the matter of prayer is by building it according to God's word. building your faith only by it. Now, this point I'm making, that is, whatever God has driven out before us, that we will possess. Whatever God has cleared and said, this is our own, that's what we will possess. The only way we will discover is that which is written. Very important. That's why it's important you understand doctrine. Oh, it's important you understand the word of God and the will of God. It is important. It is important because we've talked about the power of resonance before. If your mind can conceive the direction that God wants you to go, if you pray, the prayer will be, the answer will be speedy. It will come down to you quickly. That is a matter of fact. The problem we have with faith and prayers are most of those that are just generated by outward-born desires. In Christianity, our desires don't come from outside. They come first from inside. It's how the inside is interacting with the outside. That is what forms our desires. Things that are just outside, all they give us is the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. In case you do not know, that is why the world is in economic turmoil today. The loss of the eyes. In fact, you know, I was talking to my wife yesterday evening. I said, listen, the way banking, as an example, is done in Nigeria, not Nigeria, the world today, sorry, not Nigeria, the world. I said, it's satanic. I had to slow down to say it. In fact, in Nigeria today is satanic twice. There is a general principle of satanism worldwide. Then there is a local added. Yes, I have my reason. I have my reason for saying it. Now, the reason why I just dropped that. Those are the things that are causing turmoil in the world. Yeah. Go and look for deposit. They bring deposit finish. Go and look for who will borrow it. We get home at night, you are panting. God say, how much deposit have you brought? Oh, God, don't try now. 200 million. How much have you lent out of the 200 million? Well, if they don't pay that money, they hang you. That is the Nigerian satanic side of it. There's a general satanic side of it that, listen, we lend you the umbrella when rain is not falling. Once rain begins, we collect it back. Say, this man may not be able to return it once he starts using it. Please, I'm trying to make that an issue, all right? I'm just talking about the worldly system. So you see, that's just one part of the worldly system, all right? What I want to bring out from there is the issue of worldliness. You see, worldliness, because people's desires were brought from outside. You see a man buy an iPad now. A few weeks after, they released iPad 2, which was designed before they finished producing iPad 1. You can be sure of that. Yeah, no, come on. Think about it. How can Apple make an iPad in the year 2000? When did they release it? A few years ago, and they didn't put a camera. It's a deliberate oversight. They are not stupid. Samsung has been putting cameras on phones for more than 10 years before that. It's a deliberate oversight. As soon as you are settling with it, they bring iPad 2. As you are relaxing with it, there's iPad 3. Before you finish peeling the back on your Samsung Galaxy S2, Galaxy S3 is there, telling you all the inferiorities in Galaxy S2. You can make your call. You can do text. You can browse anywhere. In fact, you can browse beyond the web. You can browse on Pluto. On S2. But they not tell you on S3, the phone knows when you are falling asleep. Why should my phone know when I'm falling asleep? What advantage? Look, I have no problem with it, but I'm not changing my phone just because a new one knows when I'm falling asleep. I know when I'm falling asleep. I don't need the phone to recognize when I'm falling asleep. Said, the phone understands you. Are you my wife? This the phone understanding me. And you see, one young boy in China sold his kidney to buy an iPad. His mother just saw the boy with an iPad and some fine phones. What didn't happen? He said, the boy get scar for here. The doctor removed his kidney, gave him enough money to buy an iPad and a few phones. And some sneakers. Desires that are born from outside. That's what I'm trying to explain. It leads the world into perdition. You go to America, that was the cause of their problem. A man is comfortable, the house is big enough. One satanic banker shows up and says, we can collateralize this house while giving you a loan 10 times this size, and look at the kind of $1 million investment, you know, your house is your own. All you, and he said, no, why are you worrying about the price? You can finance it. Come on. And this man will pack his wife, his children, into a house beyond his ability to pay for. When things outside dictate our desires, that's what happens. Of course, you know the way all flesh is what? Grass. Whatever is born of flesh is grass. He said the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. Shortly after, the man had to pack out of that house, except that there's no house to pack into. Without talking about the collapse of that sector of their economy, the summary of it is this. It was born by what? Outward desires, flesh. What am I teaching to Christians? Let's interact with the Word of God until it gives birth to desires inside us. The example I gave last time, sometimes let's look at it from both angles. There are those who think they are very humble. And God said humility described the way you are describing it is not humility, it's coming, it's called running away in the day of battle. What do I mean? The man says, all I'm looking for in life is just enough money to. He thinks he's humble that I'm not going to buy a house bigger than my size. I'm going to return and live in that dog house that my grandfather left behind. Small enough for two people to squeeze inside. I'm not covetous. And God now wakes him up from the word of God. That before I blessed Abraham, he had to entertain strangers unawares. Where is your stranger going to stay? One day I told a friend of mine, and I wonder, I'm going to surprise him. We show up in his house. He lives abroad. And he quickly dropped it on me that his whole house is just the size of my, I was living in Transekulu, size of my sitting room and my dining area. And I smiled. I told my wife, he's very stupid. Did they force it upon him or he chose that one? I said, I have friends who live in the same area. Because they said it to my ears, we know you guys have to visit one day. Therefore, we have to get a bigger sized house. And one of my friends in the U.S., that he was about to choose a house, he said, they had two to choose from. His preference was for the bigger one. This was in the U.S. He wasn't going to show to anybody. It's the official quarters. He was a resident doctor. He said his preference was for the bigger one because he said, I still remember his words, you guys have to come and visit one of these days. By any time, look, for me personally, I hate noise. You understand what I mean by noise? You may see me making noise because I'm a preacher. But I don't. I like solitude. I like it. I like my life very quiet. And I found in scriptures that I must also be hospitable. So I prayed to God to give me a hospitable wife. I did. And a very big house. And every house I move into, there are two things I choose first. That's after my own bedroom. I pick a guest room and I pick a study. That's why since I came to town, the first house I moved in, I had 5 bedrooms. I didn't have any child, or just my wife and I. The house had 5 bedrooms. The next one I moved to had 2 sitting rooms and 5 bedrooms. The next one has 6 bedrooms, 2 sitting rooms, and a driving garage. What are you doing with 5 big houses? Some people will tell me that I can't. You want to visit them, they stylishly tell you that there's no space. I always make allowance. 1 room must be free for my guest anytime. Why? That is how to entertain angels unawares. Just by the way, let me tell you, look, I'm digressing, but let me tell you, it's part of the principle of prosperity people did not understand. That's what they confuse Christian prosperity with covetousness. One major reason why I must live in a big house is that what I've told you. I must be hospitable. That's one major reason. And like I told you, I need quiet. You know, I'm a preacher of the word of God. God must be able to talk to me with peace of mind. So in my house, I like the idea. When my children are making us, everybody downstairs. And suddenly upstairs, You know, John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I heard a voice. So sometimes you have to stay in the spirit like that so you can hear something. It's not covetousness. You get my point? It's part of functionality in life. That's what it is. People don't understand. They need, what are you doing? Listen. When the word of God interacts with you, when it enters into you, it teaches you things you need to do in life. If you don't want to go naked, you must have at least two shirts. Because one day you must give one to somebody. So if you have only one, you are going to walk naked one day. So, you see, are you getting my point? And go and read the scripture. It says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having what? All sufficiency in all things. We are bound unto every good work. Giving out of poverty is wilderness experience. That is a testing phase. It's a trying phase. It's a time in which God is testing you to see what's inside your heart. When he has established that you have a good thing inside your heart, listen, you will never have to give out of lack in your life. When David gave for the building of the temple, he said, I have given out of my private treasury all of these things. He wasn't pleased though. This work is so good. Somebody come and help me now. He said, I gave until it pained me. As poverty giving, amen? When a good man is given out of poverty, it will pain him. I don't know what I get my point. Yes, when a good man, you are good, you want to help. So you bring out of the one you don't have. It will tear your body small, you know? It will injure you. It's good. That's it's bad. As I said, it's a wilderness experience. It's a training phase in life. But when God has established you, you will tell TBN that don't worry, four of us can, you know, that's $1 million a day. You know, TBN spends $1 million a day. You've not heard that before? Not today. That was maybe 5 years ago. As I don't know how much they spend.